Hello and welcome to episode 36. It's the annual award show, otherwise known as the BAFTAs.
Woohoo!
Oh, hello Kieran. How are you today?
I'm good. Excited.
You're excited?
Yeah.
This is a first.
Yeah. Tension's building backstage.
It is. The nominees are sort of pacing around. We did have the rehearsals earlier, just like the Oscars, where we put those cardboard cutouts in the front row so we could see the sort of... Yeah.
Yeah, the whites of their eyes.
Whites of their eyes. The anticipation is mounting of our semi-serious, never tongue-in-cheek.
Not very serious at all.
Not very serious at all. Annual award show, the BAFTAs, the back-to-front award show.
Yep.
You're live from Wells, and I'm live from my new studio. So
yeah, I've got dishwasher sounds in the background.
Professional to the very end, as always. Yes, I'm in my new studio, the micro office, as I like to call it.
Yep.
Nice little den, isn't it? It's more of a den.
Yeah.
It's more of a den. If you can imagine sort of putting your arms side by side and then sort of extending them, maybe 45 degree angle, I can touch both walls.
Nice.
It's cozy, but it does sound a little different, I think.
It sounds a little bit more condensed. It's quite nice.
Well,
you said it was echoey. It's not echoey. It's sort of more like, it's more compact feeling.
More compact. In line with the physical dimensions of the room.
Of the room, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, any news on Coca-Cola Santa in Wales?
No, yeah, well, he's been through.
Has it? What, you did you?
He was through last week, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know. You didn't confirm a sighting.
Oh, yeah, been through.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, holidays are coming.
Holidays are coming. Indeed they are. This is, well, yes, it'll be our last show of the year. We'll be back in January.
Yeah.
I think we've done okay this year in terms of output. We could have done a little better. We had a few months off, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Well, there was sickness and there was, you know, logistical problems and there was you flying all over the world and that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
you know,
I think
it's been tough, but you know, I think we've delivered.
We're almost there.
We're better than last year.
Well, I think technically that's not true, just on the head count of shows. But
really,
yeah, I think we got up to 20 something last year.
Really?
I know, 36 we're at now. But yeah, it's all going well. We'll be
so
back.
It's the quality key, not the quantity.
Oh, always. Yes, that's what they say about you.
Yeah.
and me, for that matter.
Yeah.
But anyways, on with the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lengthy meeting at a gentleman's club about the awards this year. And I've seen this sort of, you know, not Soho gentleman's club, you know. Sort of big Chesterfield leather chairs, cigars, whiskey type gentleman's club, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah, metaphorically. And we've got some new categories and some returning categories as well.
Indeed, though, I'd say there's more new categories than there are returning. Wouldn't you?
This is true, but that, I think category one will explain why.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? Shall we kick off?
Well, we need to say thank you to our friends at ATEC.
Oh, we do. We do. Oh, do you know, Adam got in touch with me the other day. Not only have they been prolific in sort of workflow tools like Deploy and, you know, Deliver, they've got a new kind of all-encompassing one-click hosting kind of extravaganza called Viaduct.
Oh, really?
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, no, it's very, very good. They're just Adam, so understated. He said, oh, yeah, it's been out a few months. We just haven't really talked about it. So I had a good look. And it's, it's looking good. I think we're going to move the show onto it at some point in the new year.
Cool.
They sort of they want someone to test out the WordPress integration, so I thought I'd.
You're the man.
Well, apparently so. Now that the Back to Front show is on WordPress with its new Sean Johnson logo.
Indeed.
So yeah, we'll be checking that out and feeding back. But it looks really good. Viaduct. I think it's an IO. Should we double check?
Check that.
I think because it worries me whenever there's an IO, obviously, for reasons.
By Neil Kanish.
Yeah. Whether we've been able to... It is an IO. I hope he's got permission. But, it's a hosting platform described here for developers by developers.
Mm-hmm.
And it supports all your favourite languages. It's bang on. And, you've got a nice little site there. Add-ons, loads of database support. Oh, they've got Mongo. Is that one of those non-relational ones?
Yeah.
Ooh.
No SQL.
No SQL. But you can have MySQL and Postgres. Do you always say Postgres?
Postgres, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, weapon-grade support and various other things. So check that out, viaduct.io.
Cool. I will check that out, actually.
We shall put it in the show notes. And,
very cool.
They've got a video and everything. Oh, there it is. Yep. Very good. The video actually goes into deploying a Rails app from GitHub using the Viaduct platform. So,
cool. Oh, nice.
Check it out. But thanks for their support this year. And we'll put links.
Been very generous.
Very generous. And we'll put links to all their apps and services in the show notes. But,
indeed.
So, award one. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
This is the award for not being a very good year in the industry.
Yeah.
And this goes to 2014.
2014 absolutely smashed that one out of the park, yeah, isn't it?
I think so. It's been, in many ways, a good year, sort of, I think, for both of us work-wise. And
generally.
But I don't know. I just feel it's fair to say that there's been a lot of a sort of feeling of fatigue and maybe sort of a lot of introspection this year. Compared to a couple of years ago where I think we all felt that... you know, it was a great time to be working in the industry. This year seems, I don't know, it seems a little bit more negative. There's been a lot of talk on a lot of the problems associated with the industry, you know, certainly around conferences and things like that and privacy and security.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of focus on people generally not being very happy in the industry as well. There's been there's been a focus on mental health, which isn't necessarily it's obviously a good thing to highlight, but it's not necessarily the most upbeat topic, is it? And therefore, you know, I think that lots of these things have combined to make a relatively down year. You know,
yeah, it does feel that way.
Downbeat.
I think a lot of people, whereas they were once, you know, writing and talking about. You know, work and tools and techniques and sort of, you know, sort of pushing the boundaries of the work that we do. It seems a lot more output this year on, you know, dissatisfaction, as you say, a lot of the sort of problems and fatigue that's maybe...
The problems associated with sitting in, a cupboard-sized room in your house looking at a screen all day.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think... I think there's been some very good conversations, whether online or offline, you know, at conferences or meetups and things like that. But do you think 2015 will see a sort of more positive outlook? Do you think
I hope so. I hope there's a return to sort of, you know, the things we saw in 2012, 2013, where there was a lot of people, you know, shipping really interesting stuff and things. I'm not saying there hasn't been stuff shipped this year or stuff hasn't been good this year. It's just that, the quantity of that has been down. There's been a lot more introspection, a lot more sort of navel gazing, as you put it the other day. And I think a bit of fatigue from the, you know, we're changing the world type syndrome. You know, there's sort of like, you know, for a long time, our industry has banged on about, shall we say, the fact that we're changing the world. And I think that, you know, that becomes exhausting after a while. Maybe it's because we're British, I don't know. But I think there is a feeling generally across the industry of sort of like, you know, a little bit of like, you know, this is getting exhausting.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we were talking again in the Gentleman's Club, the metaphorical one, about this notion that we're a young industry. And I sort of, you know, this gets raised a lot. And I've come to the conclusion I don't think we are. I know a lot of people would disagree with me on that. But I think we are a relatively, I wouldn't say an immature industry. I think what we do, the services that we offer and the way that we work is fundamentally not that different from, you know, people providing client services, you know, from whenever. But I think we've been... to a certain degree, led to think that a lot of the things that we experience are new, and I'm not sure they are really. I think, you know, the industry we work in it's a delivery mechanism that's changed. But
we're a hybrid industry, aren't we? You know, we are effectively a media industry if you look at, you know, the way we produce things and and what we work with, you know, digital effectively.
Yeah,
we are a media industry, but we're sort of hybrid. A lot of our people in the industry are hybridized with the sort of service industry, and I think that really. You know, it's been very popular to talk about the fact that we're a young industry, and we are, you know, in the context of, say, you know, publishing or even radio or anything like that. But I think that we do have to realize that a lot of these problems have already been solved by these other industries, and that we are piggybacking those. Yeah. And yeah, there's things, I think it's very obvious when you talk about things like the terminology we use. You know, the terminology we use is still in flux, and we're getting used to, you know, the right words for the right things and everything on the web because it's a new medium. But I think that beyond that, the actual, you know, job of doing business and the business models and etc. are pretty well developed from other industries.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, as I put here in the show notes, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. I think that's my hope for 2015. Speaking personally as well, maybe, and also, you know, there's a lot of people doing good work, and just you know, love to see and hear a little bit more about that. But
that to come to the fore rather than the negative stuff.
If I'm looking in the wrong places, please tell me. But it does feel that this year has been not a great one in terms of work and output and people sort of celebrating. It feels much more introspection. So hopefully we've reached the hump there, and we can come down the other side and have a great 2015. But there has been some highlights, and we shall now celebrate some. So category 2, conference/event of the year. Now, we've both picked one. And as is our way, we've never been to the same event. I think
that isn't true. Not this year.
Not this year, no. So what did you pick?
I picked Web Teaching Day, which is an event run by MMU, Manchester Metropolitan University. And I talked about it on the show before. And it's a very select group of people. Though I should hasten to add that anyone's invited, and we really want other people to go. And I think even though I'm not teaching at the moment, I probably will go in 2015 because it's a topic that I'm very interested in. Essentially, you know, how we're teaching the web, who's teaching it, and the methods and methodologies involved in that.
Mm.
And I think what was really interesting for me was to get a sort of insight into A, the people who are attending that course, how well they were teaching it, and the methods they were using to teach it were just fascinating to me. Whereas I think it's very easy for educators in the web space to get very bogged down and to be always thinking about how tied down they are by their institution, because the institution is often very bureaucratic to get things changed in universities.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, I think it was inspiring for me to see people doing such incredible work, really, and, you know, succeeding despite the bureaucracy, and producing great graduates. And also, what was really interesting as well, like a lot of people attending were saying to me, you know, they actually actively go out there and seek employment for their students. You know, they build really strong links with industry.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that that's another thing that we need to really work on in the web, is that I think there tends to be an attitude where either we're a bit snotty about people who've got a degree, as in, you don't really need a degree to do websites.
Yeah, it's kind of inverse snobbery in a way, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Whereas they could have been on one of these amazing courses and have very up-to-date, very, you know, cutting-edge, you know, knowledge in this space. That isn't always the case. I know that. I know firsthand, having done IT courses back in the day that are very backward, that it can be very frustrating, and that they don't always produce the best possible graduates. But I think there are universities out there producing great students, great graduates.
Yeah, I know that there are a number of people out there, but obviously we're friends, and you know, I know very well Mr. Christopher Murphy over in Belfast,
indeed.
I've heard him talk a few times this year, and also just through chatting with him about how he kind of subverts the path. He just kind of does what he wants in a way, and gets makes things happen at the college over there in Belfast. And I think, you know, credit to him and the course that he and his colleagues have put together, because when you look at certainly the MA students that have come out of what he's done, and I'm sure his isn't the only course, but it's one I've obviously heard and know a lot about. It's you know, it's pretty special, and it gives you hope for that. So that's really good. So what time of year is that? Was that May?
It was May, I think. May, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I went to a few events this year. I think
48.
It was, not quite. It was more than one a month, less than two a month. And as always, it's very, very hard to choose, because I am good friends with a lot of the organisers, having sort of, you know, known them for a long time.
Been on the scene,
on the circuit. but I have, it's a repeat winner, I'm afraid. Well, it's not a repeat winner. The brand is a repeat winner, but I'm going to pick Beyond Telleran Berlin Edition as my event of the year for a whole bunch of reasons. There were up there. Reasons to Be Creative, as always, was fantastic. Beyond Tellerrand in Dusseldorf was amazing. MK Geek Night, Aldeia, the Generates, all really, really good. But I think something just kind of, whether it's a mix of people and the content and being in Berlin, which is one of my sort of favorite cities, just added a real kind of nice air to the proceedings. And it was quite fun being there with Ben McGowan and Craig of Wales, His Royal Highness. owner of Wales, Mr. Lockwood, and Oliver Lindbergh from NetMag. We had some good conversations. The highlight probably was going through the 100+ domains owned by His Royal Highness Craig of Wales and quizzing him on why he bought them and what the intended usage.
You write a book on that, PhD thesis.
All I'm saying is pigfruit.com. Craig, if you're listening, you have to go out and use it. 2015, the year of pigfruit, part of your five a day. but as always, Mark Thieler put on a great event. He kind of really cares. If you've never been to one of the Tellerrand conferences, definitely check him out. Just a great couple of days, a really nice setting. And Berlin, just a very, very interesting city as well. So if you get the opportunity to go, I would thoroughly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
So category three, podcast of the year. Now, obviously, we had to exclude ourselves from this.
Yes, obviously. Because you'd have been giving us the award without even thinking about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, but then I would have to sort of scrub all the non-award winning podcast kind of rhetoric that I spew. But anyways, we agreed on this one actually.
Yes, we did.
And it was Startup by Gimlet. Well, it didn't start off as Gimlet Media, did it?
But it's now Gimlet Media.
Gimlet Media, and this is about 6 or 7 episodes in, really, and it's not.
And it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's not. It's not even a regular weekly show. Well, why don't you describe what it is, Kieran?
Well, it's kind of a warts and all portrayal, I guess, of building a startup.
Yeah,
it's quite meta because he is building a podcast startup.
Yeah,
I forget the guy's name.
Alex Bloomberg.
That's right, yeah, Alex Bloomberg. And Alex is, what he's effectively trying to do is he's very into long-form journalism and long-form on audio especially, right?
Well, in particular, yes.
Yeah, in particular. And he's trying to take that medium to sort of tell the story of starting a startup. And so his first podcast on his podcast network, Gimlet Media, is about starting Gimlet Media.
Well, becomes Gimlet Media. I think it was the American Broadcasting...
American Podcasting Network or something.
Corporation, the APC.
APC, yeah. And what I find fascinating about it is that it is truly warts and all at his conversations with his partner, his conversations with his business partner, his conversations, he has with investors. Everything's recorded and everything's given back to the audience. And I think that's brave, first of all, and pretty incredible to be sort of party to that. And one of the things that I realized is that, I think you always have this kind of like a little bit of imposter syndrome when you start a business. And you sort of think, oh my goodness, we're not doing this that professionally. We're sitting around in coffee shops, having a laugh, trying to work out what the name's going to be and what the logo's going to be. And, how is that going to make money? And what you find from this is that actually everyone's like that.
Yeah. I mean,
or a lot of people are like that.
I was hooked from episode one, really, and I just think the openness, first he's got one of those voices that you can just listen to, and it's obviously very well executed in terms of...
He's formerly of This American Life, is that
right? Yeah, I think he was a producer on that, and Planet Money, and various other well-known, very successful audio, podcasts or shows. And there's just him like walking through, I think it's LA with Chris Sacca. And Chris Sacca sort of says, if I've called an Uber and you've got 2 minutes, give me your pitch. And he can't get it out. And it's just like, it's painful to listen to, but
it's very painful to listen
absolutely
to. It's
brilliant.
Cringeworthy moments.
But other things like taking on a business partner, in other words, a co-founder, and how much of a non-existent company do you give them? And there's one passage where they have this conversation, both agree to record the conversations with their respective partners at home. Mm-hmm. And, once I was like, well, I should give him 5%. And the other guy's like, well, if I don't get 50%, I'm not doing it. And then they sort of both hear back the other side of the story. And it's just brilliant. But it goes on as the company forms and they're raising finance. And then they do something very interesting where they allow small scale investment from inverted commas the general public, but mm-hmm. not everyone can invest because of these laws that exist in the States and so forth. So right through to them starting a new show called Reply All, which is very good, and some of the problems they've had there. Thoroughly recommend that startup, the Startup Podcast. It's on iTunes, and I think you can, if you go to gimletmedia.com, you can find
it. I think it's startuppodcast.com as well, isn't
it? Yeah, I think they may have redirected it now, but yeah. I could be very wrong, often now. Yeah. But I think if you've got, and they're only about half an hour long, so if you do my trick of, 1.75 speed on, what's it called?
Oh, I never do that.
Overcast, then you can get through them pretty quickly. It's probably, a walk up the hill at Wales and back and you have them all done. Walk up to the tour. Do you do that on Christmas Day? Do you go up to the tour?
No.
Get your patchouli out and waft it around? No?
No, okay. Never.
Okay. Category four. Now, this is
Category four. Most hyped app of the year.
Yes.
People are fidgeting in the audience.
They are. I can see that cardboard cutout. Looks a bit aghast.
Yeah.
What do we go
no,
for?
No one. Everyone wants to get this, but they don't. They also don't want to at the same
time.
They
don't want to get to it. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think
it's not.
It has.
I'm not saying it's overhyped.
No, just hyped.
Slack.
Slack.
You just went straight in there with that.
I did. Yes, it's obviously by the well, they've got heritage. This team. It's a very, very good team.
heritage.
They do. Listen, I mean,
this industry got heritage.
It's the original Flickr team. Most of it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Bits and bobs. Yeah.
And then, but Slack. So basically, what is Slack, Kieran? You use it?
No, I don't.
Okay. Slack. I guess it's a communications tool, right?
It's a communications tool. We've talked about it before. It's the thing that I was saying. It's kind of trying to act as the hub, the conversation that ties together all these disparate services.
Yeah.
So you have a conversation with your team, just like IRC back in the day, it's a chat channel, and they've got loads of integrations with different platforms like GitHub and, importantly, Giphy. And
always Giphy,
that kind of thing. What's that?
Always Giphy.
I thought you said miss it. And all these integrations with different tools that we might use on a regular basis, and it pulls those things into the conversation. And I think that is really why it's become so hyped. It's the integrations that have really made it such a big, important part of everyone's workflow, is because it does actually do what it says on the tin and bring all those things into one stream.
Yeah, do you think they've just taken... I mean, they're not the first company to have one. I mean, it's kind of like a group chat on steroids in a way, isn't it? But you can have different channels and profiles and, it handles... it's kind of like Campfire in used to be, I guess, where you can drag things in, images and that kind of stuff. But they've executed it very nicely. There's good iPhone app. There's a great... it's great online. It's good as an app on the Mac as well. But I still find, even though we've now switched to it at Shopify, that I'm having three or four different communications channels. We have Slack, we have Skype, we have IM, mm-hmm. we have Hangout. It's kind of a communication overload at some respects. But do you think it suits software companies more, or do you think you can see people working, having it as the metaphorical water cooler, regardless of industry, or do you think it's a tech thing?
I think that at the moment it's very tech focused, and that might change. I can see it working for certain types of companies, project based companies, companies that have distributed teams, people who bring freelancers in from outside and want to include them in the conversation, those kind of things. At the moment, it feels to me like you're looking at the integrations and stuff. It's very much aimed at the tech industry,
which is
mining the miners.
But I think that's absolutely fair, because that's developing tools that you want for yourself, and obviously the tech and web world is a huge industry. So
yeah, sure.
But there was a very interesting long form. I'll try and dig it out. It's in my bookmarks somewhere with Stuart. I think it's Butterfield, the one of the co-founders there, about mm-hmm. the got a motivation behind it, and it was very fascinating. Actually, I'll link it up. It's a long one, but it's very, very interesting.
Cool.
Not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing, and I'm sure we'll see more of Slack.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see where these hyped companies go. I think that's the main thing. I remember Engine Yard, for example, being stupidly hyped in probably 2009, 2010. And just seeing where they, where they find their place in the world. If they just become another hosting company, which I feel like Engine Yard has. you know, and maybe Heroku has as well. They were equally hyped.
Yeah.
And now they're just yet another hosting company, really. They've got a different approach, obviously, but nonetheless.
Yeah. So
so it's interesting to see where they end up.
Yeah, I think we'll see there's they'll probably, their competitors, similar typed tools will probably fall by the wayside. I'm sure Slack will sort of ramp up and really do great business. But so category five. Now, I picked this one, and you picked category six.
That's right.
So category five, man of the year. Now, just, you know, we thought about doing person of the year for obvious reasons. We don't want to get called out on this, but, you know, there are men in the world and women in the world. So we picked one of each. Fair?
Yep, fair.
So, man of the year, I've picked Sean McCabe, aka Sean Wes, simply because I just, you know, astounded by his output, really, and how much of his output I found fascinating, useful, and thought provoking. Principally on his podcast, the Sean Wes podcast, which I was about to say turned on to by Sean Johnson, which doesn't sound particularly nice. Sean Johnson, you obviously talked about him a lot on the freelance web, because a lot of the things that Sean McCabe talks about on his podcast is relevant to sort of freelancer, small business, sort of making a living from your passion is his big thing. But for someone so young, I think he's just turned 25 or 26. It's quite kind of scary. He's done a lot, and he's also you know, he's there with the output, two podcasts a week, a newsletter. He's now doing Sean Wes TV, which is, you know, video.
Shipping a lot.
He's shipping a lot. And yes, it's opinionated, but it's very thought out. It's very much...
There's nothing wrong with opinionated.
Yeah. Very much, he's got a real entrepreneurial drive. And you just kind of get the feeling that he will get where he wants to go. And thing is, at 25, he knows where he wants to go, which still astounds me. I'm still struggling, and I'm a lot older than him sometimes. I think if you've not checked out his podcast and you've got 200 hours free over Christmas, you can listen to them all. But also check out his videos. He's doing also a... he does a lettering course. That's how he started out. I think came to sort of prominence, learn lettering. But he's also doing a sort of paid for business course at the moment that will be out next year. So, yeah, cool. just a lot of great output, thought provoking.
Didn't realize that actually about the lettering.
Yeah. He's a sort of graphic artist, lettering artist, or letterer as letterer. Well. But he's kind of moved on from that and is much more focused on the business side of
entrepreneurial stuff.
Yeah. So,
nice.
Yeah, he has some nice microphone. He's got a lot of kit. It's very, very envious. Very envious. There's no.
Also, I wonder where some people get their kit.
He's got a lot of kit. But SeanWares.com. Check him out. So, category six, woman of the year.
Category six, woman of the year. Yeah, and I think this is actually a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer
for me. It's absolute no-brainer.
Yeah,
Rachel Andrew.
Yeah, has to be, doesn't it? She's
hands down.
Again,
output.
But the quality, not just the frequency, but the quality.
The quality. And perch alone. I mean,
yeah.
You know, yeah. That aside, you know, her blogging output, you know, even the stuff about VAT this year that we talked about in the previous episode has just been an absolute lifesaver to so many people in the industry who are panicking and wondering how to sort this out. She got a book out.
Yep.
About making profitable side projects. She stepped in for me when I couldn't do MK Geek Night because I had a wedding.
That's that's the reason, isn't it? That's the reason.
That is the reason.
Are you saying she's your understudy, mate? Honestly.
Not at all, no. But yeah, that was very kind of her. And generally, really nice person on Twitter and replies to you if you ask a question about her blog posts or, you know, comment on it. So many times you tend to make a comment on Twitter and the person doesn't reply, or maybe you just get lost in the shuffle or whatever, but she seems to make the effort, so that's cool.
Yeah, I think Rachel has, particularly recently with the VATMOS scandal.
VATMOS gate.
Actually, if you Google VATMOS, certainly for Google UK, her article on Web Designer Depot is slap bang at the top of there, which is a really great roundup of the situation as we stand in mid-December. But yeah, I've always been impressed by Rachel's sort of output and relevance. She writes a lot on sort of running your own business and, you know, shipping digital products the problems of that, you know, customer support. They're still a two-person team. I saw them both recently over in Bristol. Mm. And, you know, while we're sort of enjoying a beer or a coffee, Drew's on his laptop doing customer support and stuff. So, yeah, they're sort of doing great stuff. And Rachel's newsletter's great, and her roundups and her talks, everything. So, yeah, as you say, no-brainer.
Yeah.
No-brainer.
Congratulations.
Your prize will not be in the post.
But you have glory forever.
Do you think the warm and fuzzies, if we direct them to Bristol from Bath and Wells, they'll reach?
They'll reach.
Yeah, that's all good. It's all good. Category 7.
Category 7.
Again, almost a no-brainer.
Drum roll. Trend of the year.
Trend of the year. Go on, Kieran. Hit me with it.
Cybersecurity. Privacy. Big Brother.
Yes.
It's been everywhere this year. It is the... It's constantly being discussed on Twitter. It's just there are lots of startups focusing on it, lots of non-profits focusing on it. You know, there's lots of, organizations coming out, in support of, you know, openness about how data is used. And, I honestly believe this has contributed to the negative feeling online this year. Because not just because there's been a lot of arguments about this, about, you know, corporate surveillance, all that kind of stuff, but there's also been a lot of sort of, moaning, you know, belly aching about the subject. Not necessarily, I'm not saying that it's not justified. You know, I'm sure that there are lots of, you know, I can understand people's point of view completely, and feel the same in many respects, but it has led to a lot of negative vibes online. And I think that's contributed to 2014's award for, whatever we called it.
the award for not being a very good year in industry. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I have to admit I'm a little bit behind on the intricacies of where we are with all this now. It feels like we've overdosed a little bit on it from a whole bunch of angles. And
I don't want to take away from the serious nature of this. This is people's privacy and personal data and everything we're talking about here. But, you know, I do think that, you know, there's some perspective needed, and that, you know, the people's frustrations around this topic have caused a lot of negativity online.
I agree.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't see it going away either. I think there'll be more more around this. I guess for those people, you know, hoping to make revenue from this, I'm not really sure what angle that will take, and how much you know, outside of the wider web community, that whether that'll work. You know, would you? Mm. It's very easy to upgrade your free Gmail account to a paid one. Then again, I'm not really sure how. You know, what effect that would have, whether that's...
No, I think that's the point, isn't it? That, you know, even if you upgrade a free Gmail account to a pro account, you know, does that actually change the habits of the company that are providing the service? I think that people who are looking to make money out of this are people who are going to be willing to silo data and say that your data is not accessible from anywhere but this, and, you know, sign up to ethical codes of conduct. Yeah. Obviously, Google aren't going to be amongst those people.
No.
Necessarily. No. But it's not just Google. We should be very clear about this. It's not just Google who have received criticism for, you know, things like Spectrum and using data inappropriately and making you the product and all that stuff. You know, there are endless companies out there doing the same thing.
I mean, I've tried selling the demographic data about who listens to our podcast, but no one's interested. Honestly, can't even give it away.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, three people on worthless. Firefox 8, you know, come on, this is worth something. But yeah, it does feel, I think we're privacied out. I certainly feel that. Having difficulty seeing the wood for the trees.
Definitely.
If I'm honest. So yeah, I think it will carry on. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment.
Sure.
So, three more to go. Category 8, FUBAR. This is a new one. FUBAR of the year.
Yeah.
And it has to be, even though I'm not technically sure when the legislation was passed, it probably wasn't this year, but this is VATMOS.
Well, it came into, I think it was June.
Yeah, so
it was officially passed into the law that it would come into act in the 1st of January.
So this is to do with the implications of EU VAT on e-services, as we discussed. Yes. Whether we got, I'm not sure we spoke much sense on the last show around this, but we certainly had a good chat about it. But yes, the more I read about this, the more I can't help but feel that anyone who is taking advantage of the internet for business purposes is just being, you know, penalized, really. It's it's a crazy situation. I read also in a follow-up clarification document on the HMRC website that website services and hosting is an e-service now, and advertising on a website is e-service. So
yes,
Wow. I was just like, so anything, basically anything.
Yeah.
I did see a very funny tweet someone the other day said, from January 1st, I will be selling rocks. Can't guarantee what type of rock, but each one will come with a free WordPress theme. So, there's a lot of activity. There's a change.org petition. There's been a tweet storm this past week.
I think it's got as far as it's actually not just penalising small business. A lot of people have been going on about this on Twitter that, you know, it's penalising small business, and I completely agree. It's actually just penalising European business.
Yeah,
because if you look at what companies can do in the US, this is already the case with things like personal information and everything, but let's not get into that. But, you know, the whole like having to have three tick boxes for whether we can use your personal data and we can email you and things like that. Completely agree that, you know, people's data should be kept private, but it's always the implementation that seems to suffer with these laws. You know, we try and build beautiful products and we try and build things that are really highly usable, but European companies have to put 1,400 extra things on their forms.
Yeah.
When someone's buying something, it disadvantages us fundamentally. Mm. Because, you know, it's been proven that the simpler the flow for a user to buy something, the more likely they are to buy. And so all this stuff is just, you know, creating extra work for European businesses.
Yeah. And just complexity. And
yeah.
I think there are I read something, I'll stand corrected as always, there's sort of 72 different VAT rates across Europe that you have to take into account. It's, you know, if you're selling a PDF, you've written an ebook and you're selling it for $10 or, you know, £5 or 10 euros, whatever it is, I think it will push people into the hands of third party kind of vendors a la Gumroad and ironically places like Amazon, you know, these are, we shall see. I have no way of knowing, of course, as my my contacts at the Treasury and HMRC are limited these days since I left the service of the government.
It's foreign intelligence.
Yes, so we don't talk about that. but I think something has to give. I think you can't ignore this now. And even the clarifications just make things worse. It's where there was ambiguity, there is now more caveats. You know,
so. Yeah, I think as I said on the last show, I think it's about there's a lack of clarity about implementation.
Yes,
they can continue to clarify who it applies to until they're blue in the face. I think most people are pretty clear who it applies to. Anyone selling anything online that's digital, but you know, it's really how we do that. You know, the verifiable evidence and all that stuff is the real, you know, the real crux of it. You know, however I look at it, none of the information that you can gather is verifiable.
Yeah.
You know, short of asking someone for their birth certificate or asking someone for, not their birth certificate, but, you know, some sort of official document of their place of residence. This just isn't feasible.
Yeah, and if you think about the amount of, person hours that's gone into trying to solve this, you know, the tech and the development time, it's huge. It's
it really is
a massive undertaking.
Ridiculous.
We shall see, but hopefully we'll be able to report early January that it's
been overturned.
Huge U-turn. But
I doubt that.
I doubt that somehow. But I don't know. I wonder if it'll go the way of the cookie thing. I'm not sure.
What way? Just everyone ignores it.
Mm.
Maybe.
I don't know. But anyways, yeah, FUBAR of the year, Vatmos.
Vatmos.
Wear that one with pride, sir. Yes. Cool. So two left. And these aren't really awards. But,
no, they're not.
These are looking forward to...
Predictions.
2015. So...
everyone likes making predictions and making a fool of themselves.
I think so. So, well, maybe we've touched on a couple of yours, but we've got a couple each. What are yours?
Well, so my first one is lots more talk about piracy. Privacy. I think that there's going to be more services trying to make money from this privacy issue. We're already seeing some of that happening. I think that... there's going to be a lot more of people paying for services that traditionally people thought, that have become free services. Things like email, DNS, that kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah.
People are going to start paying for this stuff because they're concerned about what's happening to their data. And I think also, maybe some of the bigger companies, the dinosaurs out there, aren't going to respond to this. But I think smaller companies that are going to be forced to do that. That's really my trend for 2015. We did touch on it quite a lot earlier. I think that it's going to be more and more of this privacy issue. I think it's going to become in the fore in every area of our lives, really. I can see a lot more stuff coming out culturally in Hollywood and places about privacy. Honestly, I can't stop saying piracy.
Is it privacy or privacy?
Privacy.
I don't know.
I can really see that happening. In politics, everywhere, there's going to be more and more talk about this, I think. I think that that's going to be the trend of 2015. They're going to continue, but I think we're going to see lots of people more trying to monetize this than they were last year. There's a lot of moaning last year, as I said, but I think there's going to be a lot more people jumping on that bandwagon and saying, here's a replacement for Skype, let's say. I mean, actually, that's another bit of a trend. I think that, we might see some replacements for some of the sort of the old guard, as it were. You've already seen quite a few apps trying to challenge things like Skype, and I think that particularly if someone came along and, like, I think Hemless is one of them that's currently doing this, that says, we're not going to give all every chat conversation you have with your granny to the CIA or whatever, or the NSA. We're going to keep it all private, and we're going to encrypt it, and it's going to be peer-to-peer, as it used to be with IRC or whatever, I think that's going to be another trend, especially in communication.
Yeah, I think it will be very interesting to see which of those tools will take a lead and replace things like Skype, which has been around for a long time and is kind of ubiquitous.
Yes.
Hangout is
and
good.
And how they do that.
But that's a Google thing. So, yeah, it'd be very, very interesting to see. And then, of course, if they are backed by VC, then you back into that whole kind of debate again.
Who will get sold to?
Yeah. So, I agree. I think that's a good prediction. And I'm sure this time next year we'll be reflecting and probably talking about a few apps, services that come out from there. So to round off my predictions, I think I've had a lot of conversations sort of second half, sort of latter part of the year with people who feel a little bit burned out by this whole kind of social thing. And, the words going dark for 2015 have been uttered. I think a lot of the people, there are still some, people are very, very active on social media, but I've noticed a lot of people sort of, just through conversation, sort of consciously and subconsciously kind of stepping back and using social media in a different way.
I think that plays into my prediction actually as well.
Yeah.
People are concerned about, what they're going to say. I talk to my students about this, what they're going to say now is going to reflect on them in 10 years' time, because that stuff's still going to be there,
Yeah, we've all heard about the, you go for a job interview and someone's Facebooked you and found, that picture of you in the dentist chair in Magaluf. I think certainly from an industry perspective, I think people are maybe a little after sort of 6-7 years of it, maybe feeling a little bit fatigued by the whole social thing. I'm hoping...
Fatigue's the word of the year, I think.
Yeah, I'm hoping... I've always enjoyed reading people's blog posts and things like that. Hopefully back to blogging on people's own sites and... a little more sort of long form writing. I think a lot of people have expressed an interest to get back to that.
I'd like to see some proper journalism again as well.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, as I said earlier, a little less conversation, a little more action, as the king once uttered.
Yes.
But yeah, and just back to work, really, I think. I think a lot of people may reflect back on this year and think, yeah, I need to get back and get some output going and, get back to why we got into this and sharing and, knowledge and back to the code face a little bit. I mean, I think that's a personal prediction. I certainly feel that something I'm trying to do, write more and sort of talk more about work stuff. And I've never been that social, as you know, but I think there's maybe people come out the other side of the new year. Maybe that's something, certainly from a lot of conversations I've had, people want to do as well. So we shall see.
I think you're right. I think there's going to be a real, I think more than just sort of a subconscious move away, I think it's going to be it's actually a backlash at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the people I talk to are really like, you know, they feel a little bit oppressed by this stuff.
And, as the old adage, if a tree falls in a forest, does anyone hear it? Well, it's the same with social media. You know, if you've got
if no one's listening.
Yeah, if no one's listening, it doesn't really matter. So, I think there's still ways to get yourself out there. I think we've got attuned to the fact that if you're not big on Twitter, in inverted commas, you know, it's going to affect your work and it's going to affect your livelihood. And I think that's just not true. I think the work should always win out, and hopefully that'll be the case.
And actually, I think you're seeing lots of sort of, you know, I don't want to say the word, but web celebrities. I think you see people like Kevin Rose particularly, and those kind of people are pulling away from this. Like, you don't see him on Twitter as much as you used to. You don't see him on Instagram. And maybe that's a reflection of people's negative feelings in San Francisco about these people. But I think it is part of this trend towards, you know, maybe keeping your life a little bit more private. And that's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I think we've all, the highlights reel approach of social media, I think is we've kind of all got a bit fatigued for, again.
Yeah,
you know,
fatigued. Of seeing everyone's, you know.
All the good stuff.
Favourite lunch and, you know, their kids' prize winning party and their, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Guilty as charged. But anyway, those were our sort of 10 categories this year. I think it's been a mixed year, a mixed bag.
It has, yeah.
Very mixed.
I don't want to overemphasize, you know, the fatigue and stuff, because I think there have been some great things this year. I think we covered some of them, but I think, you know, that there is, you know, there is a very negative vibe out there, and we could really, you know, do with a bit, maybe taking some time over Christmas and then coming back refreshed in 2015.
I think so. Yep. And I think all that remains is to thank everyone who has stuck with us in 2014.
Despite everything,
despite our best efforts to
discourage you.
Yes, I think we're back on track now, and think
it's great.
Well, we can get back to almost weekly, and lots to talk about. But we'll be taking a break. We'll be back in the first week of January, and if you have any comments or dog related technology that you'd like to share with us,
dog tech. Big time. I want to see some amazing dog tech in 2015.
I think so. There is a comment on Twitter, ironically, a link at the bottom of the show notes for every show now, so you can just drop us a link or a suggestion if there's any topic that you think two old geezers from the West Country could chat about. We'd welcome that, but
welcome input.
Thanks again to ATEC Media and for supporting the last few shows. It's very much appreciated.
It is.
And we shall put all their links in the show notes and look forward to trying Viaduct out as well in the new year. But
definitely,
yes, happy Chris Mooker to you, Kieran, and
thank you. Happy Christmas to you too.
Yes, and happy holidays to
happy holidays to everybody,
to our friends across the pond. And I shall speak to you soon. Cheers.